Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now. Special Olympics of Arizona was founded to create a new world of inclusion where every single person was accepted and welcomed. And that sounds like a pretty wonderful place to be. I'm excited to chat with my guests today to learn more about the rich history of Special Olympics and the athletes that are driving the organization. She's the president and CEO of Special Olympics of Arizona, Jamie Heckerman. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing well. How about you?
We're just commiserating about, you know, the end of the year and the kids are all jacked up. So I really appreciate your time. But let's start with a history of how Special Olympics as a national organization came to be way back in 1962.
I believe it was 1968. It's been around for just over 50 years. And I only know that because I got to go to the 50th anniversary in Chicago, which was by far one of the best experiences I've had working with Special Olympics. But Eunice Kennedy Shriver started Special Olympics. She had a sister with an intellectual disability. Her name was Rosemary. And during that time, Rosemary didn't have a lot of opportunities given to her, even with the prominence of her family. And so Eunice recognized that there was this issue and started Special Olympics in Chicago. It was a one-day event, and she had just over 100 athletes or individuals with intellectual disabilities come over, and they participated in track and field, and I think there was swimming involved, and it really blossomed from there. She held Camp Shriver during the summer, so athletes would actually go to her home and get to experience sports and athletics, fitness. And they really enjoyed it. So, you know, currently we're in every 50 state across the United States, Canada, Mexico, and then across the world. I'm not sure of the exact number, but just over 100 countries currently have some kind of Special Olympics.
It's huge.
It is. It's massive to think of that scale.
Mm-hmm. So then is it similar, you know, in today's Special Olympics format, is it similar to an original, like a traditional type of Olympic where U.S. is competing against Mexico and you're competing against other countries, or do the athletes really stay kind of Arizona athletes are against Arizona athletes?
Yeah, there's different levels of participation. In our state, we have very local or to their community, so we call that area, and then they're able to go to our state competitions. We only host about four of those a year. And then from there, we have USA Games every 4 years where they compete against athletes from other states. It's always a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then we have World Games. And so that alternates every 2 years between winter and summer. And we actually have an athlete going to Winter Games in Italy next year for snowshoeing. And then we're still working on World Summer Games in the future. I hear it's going to be in Chile.
That's so cool. Like, what an opportunity.
Yeah, it's amazing. And those athletes have a fantastic time. They're treated like royalty at all of those events. We just had a girls 3-on-3 team go to Berlin last summer, and they ended up competing against all male teams, and they took home the silver medal. Watching them compete and, you know, share. And that was a unified team, which not a lot of people know about unified sports. It pairs those with and without intellectual disabilities on the same teams together. So our athletes are with their peers competing and sharing not only just in the physical aspect of sport, but also the friendships that come along with it.
How do you notice kind of those different relationships blossoming? Do you notice kind of a peer-to-peer mentorship that blossoms organically, or what do you see that's different than maybe a full team that does have intellectual disabilities?
You see more connection with their communities, kind of the organic relationships that start, being invited out to movies and to go to dinner with their friends. That's something I think a lot of us take for granted, that it's just open and available to us, where a lot of our athletes are contained in classrooms without their peers at school. And I know there's some integration that they're working on, but the Unified program definitely blows those doors wide open, where they're connected through sport, which is very, very organic, but then they create these bonds or these relationships where they do get invited, and they're sharing success at graduation. They're a part of each other's lives as they grow, and not only for our athletes, but their peers. They're a lot of them are changing how they see the community, how they grow as an individual. So many people have told me, I originally wanted to go into engineering or to be a nurse or, XYZ, but now they're transitioning to want to be a special education teacher or to be some kind of therapist to work with the population. So it's really cool to see just by that little bits of integration how much it's impacting their future.
Do you feel like there is more of an idea of acceptance in kind of these younger generations of kids than there has been traditionally? I personally feel like just accepting of everyone and being open-minded. Like I do feel like our kids and that generation is overall more open-minded to those that differ from them. And, bullying isn't cool. Like, I really like how everyone is just a little bit more open-minded to one another in kind of this generation below us.
I do agree. I think when I went to high school, I never saw anybody with a disability, intellectual disability for sure, on campus. And then at graduation, I see, five or six kids walking across stage, and I grew up in a small town in Iowa. So to not know that these individuals were a part of my school and, very much segregated, that was very eye-opening. And so now that the expectation is that we are all being inclusive and that we're creating this environment on our campuses that is open and welcoming and just changing that culture. Several years ago, I was a sports staff, so I went and set up competitions and I was there early, so I was just getting a few things ready, and there happened to be a PE class that was walking out of the doors to come use the track, which we were going to use later in the day. Nobody knew who I was. They had no idea what it was there, but I heard some of the boys walking out, and one of them said the R word. I don't remember which context, but he happened to say, that's retarded. And the other boys looked at him and said, "We don't use that word here. That's not
Good
what
for
we do on
them.
our campus." And just to see that happen without any adults around, without any, pressure to act a certain way, just to know that that's happening without anybody saying anything, it's really, really cool to see.
It is. And I know that Special Olympics in Arizona specifically has more programs than only the Olympic Games. Can you touch on some of those? Because I think that's an important element of the organization as a whole, is some of these other kind of supplemental programs.
Yes, I think the one that's most important is our health programming that we do. Not a lot of people know about it, but Special Olympics is the world's largest health organization for people with intellectual disabilities. And so we're providing screenings to our athletes free of charge, and they can come to a competition and actually be seen by a clinician. We do it at the competition because it's not as scary. I'm sure you and I are very similar, or at least I am. I don't want to go to the doctor. It's very scary to be in a sterile room with a doctor in a white lab coat. And we're breaking down those barriers for a lot of our athletes because their anxiety can get very high. A lot of them have multiple health issues and they don't want to continue to be at the doctor, so they're not talking about those health issues. So when they come to our games, they can go into a gym and see a doctor in a t-shirt, and and be seen for their eyes or their ears. They get their teeth checked. They have fit feet where they check out their feet to make sure that they're walking correctly. So we have eight different disciplines that our athletes can be seen, all by trained health professionals. And then at the end of the day, they can get free prescription glasses. Sometimes we've give away shoes if it's necessary, refurbished hearing aids. So it's amazing that we can identify some of the problems that aren't seen in a clinical environment, because it is very calming and soothing, and with their friends and with their coaches who they trust. And obviously, we do face painting and video games at those events, so it's not all health focus. They can get away for a few minutes and be calm. But some of the things that have been identified over the years, and I don't necessarily have an exact story, but it's really neat to see that this is all happening and that people want to be involved in it. And also the training of the next generation of students. A lot of these clinicians will bring out their students, or if they're faculty, professional faculty at a training university, they'll bring their students out so that they have experience with our athletes, and they break down their uncomfortableness that may exist, and recognize that we may need to spend a little bit more time, or maybe there's a barrier with language, but there's ways to overcome that to be better in the future.
And that's invaluable, that out of the classroom learning, that otherwise they wouldn't be able to have that. You know, that it's different in a textbook versus in real life.
Yes, we do have a special program that's happening at U of A currently. There's a professor that teaches med students, and she actually brings some of our athletes in, and they get paid actually to be actors while they're there, so that those health students can actually see what it's like to work with somebody with a disability.
I love the way that your website talks about athletes because it just speaks so highly of them. They talk about athletes as those with a positive spirit, determination to succeed with innate human decency. Speak to the importance of athletes as ambassadors for the brand because those really are international ambassadors for the Special Olympics brand.
Yeah, there's no one better to talk about our programs than somebody that benefits from it. And our athletes are amazing. That's what drew me to Special Olympics, is just the innate human, what we should all strive for to be human, the kindness, the joy. And they can go out and share that with everyone. They have these great experiences. And every time you ask an athlete, what's your favorite part of Special Olympics? They say, my friends. I get to see my friends. And I love that. And to be able to share that with people in the community and to grow their leadership skills is something that we really strive for. We have an athlete leadership program where we're training individuals on how to go out and public speak, how to advocate for themselves in different settings, and just to grow as a professional and to see our athletes, go to that professional environment and share their stories that are very touching, very moving. Not only does the organization benefit, but I think those individuals by themselves benefit from hearing our athletes' stories. So we're continuing to grow that program and make sure we get more of the door that can be a part and want to advocate.
It's a great program because then those that are younger or those that might be on the fence, maybe interested in joining but too scared to, they see that, look at this successful person looks like me or acts like me or may have the same intellectual disability that I have. And that's inspiring.
Oh, definitely. I mean, to see someone that's like you that can go out and break down those walls and be confident, speak well, and connect with people on that level—it's, I think it's very inspiring to others that see it.
What are the requirements to participate in the Olympic Games?
So we have athletes need to be 8 and above to compete at an actual event. We do have a program for young kiddos called Young Athletes. It's for those 2 to 8, and they compete in skill development. So,
I bet that's
learning
so
how to,
cute.
yes, they're adorable. They learn how to throw, they learn how to balance and kick a ball. So very basic skills. And then they can come and compete in our events. They have to train for 8 weeks in the sport that they've chosen, and we offer 21 different sports a year. And then after those 8 weeks, they have the opportunity to go to a competition and compete. So we have local events, and then they can go to our state events, and it's really up to them what they choose to do.
Do you have a list of the games or of the sports available?
We do. It's on our website. It's soaz.org. Everything can be checked out there, but we do kind of follow the school calendar. So anything August to May is when we operate, and we try and take the summer to just plan for the next year because it's so hot here.
Right. Not a whole lot of games happening June and July.
No.
Do you have any special moments that are extra memorable that stand out to you? I'm sure that you see them day in and day out of just awesome experiences and those that are coming into their own. But are there any in your time there that have really stood out to you, or any individuals that really stood out to you?
Yeah, I think there's a few different and for very different reasons. I've been with the organization over 14 years. And I started from the bottom. So I worked in, you know, paperwork and planning events to the role I'm in now. Quite honestly, I miss the role I had previously sometimes because I had more interaction with athletes on a day-to-day basis. But outside of just the normal, you know, walking around a competition or event and people still, athletes, will yell and go, Jamie, Jamie, to feel like somebody recognizes me and holds me in that regard that they want to be my friend. I love that. There's nothing better than seeing that. I have athletes across the state that I remember for different reasons. One is there's an athlete in Kingman. His name is Chris. And during basketball, a basketball game, he would run down to one end of the floor and he would stop in his spot that he'd been told to stop at. And he would just giggle. He'd go, hee, 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 hee. And then he'd run down to the other end. He would stop and he would just giggle. Offense, defense, it did not matter. He was just excited to be out on the floor. And so I see Chris all the time. Love seeing him at events. And he's almost nonverbal. So, you know, his way of sharing his joy is that.
Mm-hmm.
I think another story that sticks out to me, there's two brothers that live in the Valley, Jimmy and Dale. And I've known them for a very, very long time. And Jimmy was, you know, kind of the care provider for his brother. They were left here by their family. I think they were around in their 30s when they were left here, and they lived independently together and took care of each other. And, you know, Jimmy was able to be more verbal than Dale. Jimmy always called me trouble. He's like, there's trouble, and laugh at me as I went by. But I think the rest of the story kind of shows the importance of our health program or just leadership in general. Jimmy, unfortunately, had a heart attack at home when they were home alone. And Dale didn't know what to do. And all he could remember is, I need to get help. Not thinking about the phone that he had access to. So he actually left his home and walked down to the gas station at the corner to tell them that he needed help, that his brother needed help at his home. And because of some of the delays that existed, you know, knowing your address and what was actually going on, it slowed that process a little bit, and also him having to walk. And unfortunately, by the time help got there, Jimmy had passed away. And now Dale is on his own. And you know, I've known these people for a really long time, but to know that the programs we have in place to help understand what it means to be healthy, what it means to contact law enforcement, that's another aspect I haven't talked about, but our partnership with law enforcement, what to do in an emergency, what it means to advocate, be able to talk about what's going on. I think that just, it solidifies to me the importance of what we do. And why I want to continue down this path to help others.
That is a perfect example of something, another thing that we would usually take for granted of, okay, there's an emergency. And even I hadn't considered just knowing what to do to help someone else. And that must be so frustrating and just trying to navigate and scary for him.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's very scary. And, you know, to know that he's alone now and having to navigate this world without his brother it's very, very scary. So I hope we can continue to instill those skills and help promote people in growing.
Mm-hmm. Are most of the athletes, you know, you being around for 14 years, have you kind of seen and grown up with a lot of these athletes? Do they stay in the program for a while? You know, I'm sure that there's some that come and go, but do most of the athletes tend to stay and grow for 10 plus years?
They do. And because we don't have an age limit on our athletes, I mean, we could get athletes that are in their 80s, but still competing in our sports. I want to say the oldest is 86 currently, and they're still playing bocce.
Okay.
But, you know, talk about lifelong sport. I'm in my late 30s, and I haven't played sports in such a long time, and I probably should to stay healthier. But, you know, I've kind of grown up in this world. This is the only real profession that I've known, and I've stayed because I love it so much. My son, I was actually pregnant with him, you know, in the beginning of my career. He's now 12. And so a lot of them are athletes. They know him. They've seen him at events. He helps out. He's been a unified partner before. And so athletes come up to me and say, oh, how's your son? How's he doing? And to just know that he sees that world in a different way. And our athletes truly care about what's happening. There's no better place than Special Olympics.
That's awesome. And what drew you there in the first place? I mean, can you think that far back of what made you like, oh, this is the place that I want to be? And what a perfect fit and an amazing place for you to, you know, spend the rest of your career. But what initially kind of perked your ears about the organization?
I have a physical disability called spina bifida. And so I've used a wheelchair since the time I was 11. Prior to that was crutches. And I grew up in a small town, so everybody knew who I was and were accepting of kind of the differences. But I know that's not the true story for everyone, not what their experience is. I got the opportunity to go to University of Arizona to play wheelchair basketball. And during that time, I thought for sure I was going to get involved in wheelchair athletics because I've benefited so much from sport. I was able to travel internationally, and I was a co-captain of one of those teams, and it helped develop my leadership skills. And so as I was applying for positions during college, I was actually applying thinking I was ending up with wheelchair athletics, and they put me with a Special Olympics bowling league. And it was off season. I was there to collect money and make sure athletes got to their lanes. But I ended up finding a group of people that I felt like it was home. That's where I belonged, because they didn't care that you were different. You know, maybe they asked a question or two, but let it drop. And they don't see the things that you're incapable of doing. They see the things that you are capable of doing. And I appreciated that. And I wanted to make sure that individuals had the same experiences that I had. And so it was just a perfect fit. I ended up changing my major. I graduated from ASU with therapeutic recreation degree, and here we are.
You are so perfect for this role. Your story, just like everything about you, I feel like this role was made for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
If I can interject my own opinion, I think it's perfect for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, what's next for the organization?
Yeah, so our seasons wind down in May, so we're on a little bit of a hiatus until August, but we're starting a new sport this year. We're starting pickleball with our athletes.
Oh my gosh. My husband works for USA Pickleball, and so he's, I'm sure you guys have worked together. He's pumped. He's Mr. Pickleball now, and it's just wild how much it's grown. I'm sorry, continue.
Oh no, it's perfect. We're very excited to get on board with that. Tennis is a little more challenging for our athletes. And so pickleball, I think, is a good segue, especially for some of our aging athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited for that. We will have an athlete go to World Games in Italy in 25 for snowshoeing. He's from up in Flagstaff, so we're excited to see that. And then in 2026, we will have USA Games in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we normally take a team of about 150 people to compete in that experience, and they will compete from across athletes from all states. And that's always a fun experience because our athletes have to travel independently. Parents, if they go, they're there as spectators and they don't travel with the team. And so those bonds that form throughout the competition season, they get even stronger during that trip.
Mm-hmm. So are you flying, busing, a combination?
We should be flying, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of organization, but we'll get there.
How can the community get involved and help you with all of this? Because these are major things coming down the pike for you.
Yes, we're always looking for volunteers. Our staff is pretty small. We only have about 32 staff. We have just over 20,000 volunteers that we use on an annual basis. There's events August to May all the time, and any sports that people are interested in. So SpecialOlympicsArizona.org is usually the best way to find upcoming events or activities. You can always reach out to our office if they have questions at 602-230-1200.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I'm excited to kind of follow along and see how everything comes together.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate this opportunity.
All right. I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today, and I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio with audio on demand on radio station websites and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.